Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All right, welcome back to it. David Goldenshue here, a leader for the nationwide movement of states to call a convention of states pursuant to Article 5 of the United States Constitution. All right, David, I'm going to challenge you on something you said here because it's important for us to be clear. And you were talking about the oath of office, about, you know, when people go to the convention, they swear they'll do X, Y, and Z, and so on and so forth. And so what? Federal judges swear to uphold the Constitution all the time, and I hear them say things and make rulings that are clearly in opposition to the Constitution that I read in my hand. So, you know, it strikes me as odd. So let me read Article 5 of the Constitution, the part that applies here. Sure. Or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, plural. Amendments, plural. Mm-hmm. When ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, and so on and so forth. There's no limiting language there that says you have to be limited to one item. And that's why I firmly believe, and you have not persuaded me otherwise yet, that if they open a constitutional convention, they being the state legislatures or however you get there, if an Article 5 constitutional convention, the entire document is open for business. Not just, you know, they might call it for a balanced budget, but while they're there, they have every right to call up other proposed amendments right there on the floor. Where am I wrong?
Well, where you're wrong is in multiple ways. I've been to 26 states. I've talked to leadership in 26 states. 34 states call this convention, and they're going to call it for a specific purpose. Now, if you're the Speaker of the House or the Chairman or the President of the Senate, you're going to appoint people to that convention who are going to stay on the task that you instructed them to stay on. We have rules that will be in place that will protect that. There is a mechanism for Congress to protect it. And then ultimately, if somehow this convention were to, if a majority of delegates were prepared to take on something, violate an oath of office, be subject to going to jail for that.
How would they be violated? Hold on. It doesn't say that here, David. This is black and white. This is black and white Constitution. I'm reading it. For the proposal of amendments.
You're not looking at the rest of the Constitution. There's case law on point. There's 230
case law is not the Constitution. But here's the thing. You're going to tell me that proposing amendments, plural, doesn't mean what it says.
Well, anybody who's lawyers will tell you that when you use terms in the singular or plural, that it also refers to it in the singular in this case. So in this case, we have 230 years of Congress, which has had the opportunity to call these conventions and haven't because 34 states have never passed a resolution on the same subject. There have been at least three court challenges to force a challenge, and on each occasion, the courts have said, no, these things can be limited to a single subject. We're not going to get into that. Congress has chosen not to call it. So you've got case law. You've got political reality. You've got criminal law at play here. And we have hundreds of conventions in our nation's history, including conventions of states. They weren't Article 5. They were conventions of states. And never has what you suggest happen ever happened. No convention has ever run away.
No convention has ever occurred in this fashion.
What's that?
No convention has ever occurred in this fashion.
No, that's not true. In 1861, there was a convention in Washington.
Not called by the states. We already talked about that.
Yes, it was called by the states. It was not called pursuant to Article 5, but it was called for the purpose of drafting an amendment to avoid the Civil War. 24 states, both northern and southern states, came together, held a convention. President John Tyler was the president of that convention. You can go back and read. Never once did they come close to running away and talking about other aspects of the Constitution. So that's just one example, but there's
many
others.
Hold on. And I appreciate that, and I'll look at that closer. But the fact of the matter is, because it didn't run away that time, doesn't mean it won't run away the next time or the time after that. You see, I think you have a lot more confidence in people raising the right hand. Oh, I'll do the right thing. Sure, I will. You know,
well, Steve, if you're a legislator or one of your legislators there in Michigan, y'all passed a resolution for a BBA, and if your speaker appoints someone to that convention, do you think he's going to go to that convention, violate an oath of office for which there could be a criminal penalty, and then when he gets there, start dealing with the Second Amendment or something like that, when he's got to come home to these legislators and to face the people that's there? That now you're ignoring political reality, not to mention, again, that we've got legal precedent, we've got rules for this convention that sit in place, and then ultimately, even if all of the craziness you suggest happens, 38 states still have to ratify whatever this rogue amendment is that you think might possibly, or that some think, not necessarily you, but that some think might possibly get proposed by this convention. And 38 states couldn't even ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. How are they possibly going to ratify an amendment that could hurt our Constitution? The fact of the matter is that there are numerous hurdles and steps in place to protect against any convention of this type doing any harm to the Constitution. It is a fantasy. I've written a book on this, and many other scholars have written papers on this, including Tim Dake there from neighboring Wisconsin. So
yeah, I know it's a crazy notion.
It's a concern, but it's just not it's not reality. You're living in fantasy world.
It's a complete crazy idea to think politicians would ignore their oath to office. I get it. I mean, it's a crazy idea that they would break their oath to office and commit a crime.
There might be one or two that would do that, but the problem is you've got to. It's a one state, one vote mechanism, so you've got to have a majority of delegates, most of whom are going to be state legislators that have to go home and face the people. You have to have a majority of delegates from a majority of states ignore the call and the scope of the call of that convention. When you've got 34 states that called that convention, you're just living in a fantasy world if you think that would happen.
I know.
I mean, and
that'd be
so
as crazy
you,
as to conceive
that people that believe that.
No, I understand that. It's as crazy as to conceive people in the intelligence community would leak to hurt the president of the country. It's a crazy idea. It's a good conversation, though, David.
Person.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, David. I will have you back. I will. It's a good conversation. I'm not done with it yet. I just happen to be out of time for today. It's 52 after on the Steve Gerber Show.